All right, everybody, welcome back to the podcast. Today, we have another very special guest on the podcast. He goes by the name of Crystal Ball Modragon. Okay. I was just telling him how I love his last name. It has dragon in it, and that means he is about to bring some fire to this podcast, okay? Because the topic for today is a very, very popular topic. And we're going to be talking about employees versus contractors. Which one is better? We always get this. And he's a coach, just like I am. I'm going to let you tell your story. Thank you so much for joining the podcast, okay? And just tell the people a little background story about you. If you don't mind sharing how much revenue your company is, where you're at right now, and what even made you start in the cleaning company, in the cleaning industry.
Absolutely. No, Karina, thank you for inviting me. Really excited to be in your podcast. And really, yeah, to dial down and drill down into the topic of versus employees versus contractors. You know, I think there is a lot of misinformation out there. So I think it's just to get that to the bottom of it. And then, you know, you can make an informed decision whether you want to go with one way or another. So thank you again. You're right. So how do I get started here with the cleaning industry? Mm-hmm. It was actually because of my wife. My wife had already like a few months cleaning for another company as a subcontractor, as a matter of fact. Okay. And I was selling cars at a car dealership. I figured, you know, this is good money. I like sales, you know, like dealing with people. And so I never crossed my mind that I was going to end up running a cleaning business. Okay. But long story short, we were having dinner and my wife's like, let's start a cleaning company. I'm like, well, how does that work? At first, my response was not, because I didn't see myself doing it or anything related to it. So I figured, I don't want to, but tell me about it, right? Still, I want to listen. So she tells me, okay, well, there's no, we get, you know, these homes and we charge them like a recurring, you know, service. At the time, I'm like, really, the really people pay you like on every 2 weeks? I'm like, okay. And I said, well, listen, it sounds interesting. I'm going to be posting some ads for you on Craigslist. That's all, you know, we knew at the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be answering the phone calls for you and you do the job. Will that work? She's like, let's do it. And this is January of 2015. And by March, he was bringing more money than I was making in sales. So it literally in a 3 month span, I realized that, you know, there's money to be made in this industry. I really think it's very underrated and you can make a lot of money if you're actually, put the effort towards it. Okay. So here you go. March of 2015, I decided to, you know, put my 2 weeks notice, like anything, you know, it was scary. But I'm glad I decided to go ahead because It really took off. And, you know, I made the terrible mistake of not doing enough research on my end. And, you know, we operated kind of blindsided, you know, without understanding the laws and regulations of labor. And essentially, this is what we're talking about today. After 12 months of operation, I got a letter from the Department of Labor where they were auditing me and see how I was essentially paying my cleaners. And then at the time, right, you know, it just turned into an audit, and then we'll go into detail, what happened. But essentially, you know, I came out and they're like, okay, you have to pay this way. Otherwise, you know, you're not being in compliance. So we switched to the employee model, right? And then ever since, we've been an employee model company. It is our 7th year, so we turn 7 years on this January 2022, and we currently have 22 employees, so 22 cleaners, 3 virtual employees that are, you know, virtual assistants answering the customer service department and handling the issues, and my wife and myself running, you know, the company from behind. So I'm in the admin side of it. My wife takes care of handling the girls. And as far as revenue, so last year we really grew a lot post-pandemic. You know, it seems like everybody wants their home clean. And we really got so busy that, to give you an idea, pre-COVID, we were always kind of like 10, 12 team, you know, cleaners. That's it. And then post-pandemic, you know, when like, you know, things were kind of coming back to, you know, I guess, normals, you know, the demand was incredible. Now we're 22 cleaners, and then we're currently making, you know, it varies. The monthly revenue varies really, but every time it's between 110 to 125 per month. So as a matter of fact, I was just looking at my numbers today, and it seems like this month we're going to be closing at 115. So again, it's just kind of like in between there. Yes, it's been a, you know, exciting business to say the least, you know, ups and downs along the way, but very rewarding.
Right, right. So what would you say you and your wife did to make you guys scale so fast? Because I noticed you said that within 6 months you was leaving your job.
Yeah.
So like what advice could you give our audience that what helped you guys scale so quickly?
That is a great question. And you know, I don't know if it was the right strategy, but it certainly helped. When we started, I literally will take any job, doesn't matter what it is, we'll take it. I wanted my calendar full. And of course, I didn't know, I'm sure we were losing money in some of the jobs, or, you know, spending more than I quoted for. But not to say the least, you know, we really look after volume. That was my focus, just grow as quickly as possible, get more customers. My mission, I remember at the time, I was like, I need to fill this calendar. And so this is what I did. Along with Craigslist ads, you know, that at the time, that was all I knew. But I, you know, coming from the sales background, from, you know, the car sales, we as a car person or any salesperson, you know, if you're a good salesperson, you need to have your book of business, you know, contacts from, you know, people who did business with you and whatnot. And then you call, you know, the money is on the follow-up. It really is. So you call people. So I already had that mentality. So what I did at the time, I remember I was looking up on Trulia for realtors. And I knew realtors was a great partner to have because they have homes sitting there and they need cleaning. Mm-hmm. So I was posting ads on Craigslist, but at the same time, we'll go to Trulia, you know, while I'm at the dealership and kind of making spreadsheets of realtors in my area. And then during my free time, I will literally call them and pitch the service. A little bit of aggressive, I will say, you know what? We're new in the area. We want to prove ourselves. We really want to see how we work. So I'll give you $100 off on your first cleaning. And then from there, you can make a decision whether you want to continue with us or not. More than not, they will say, yes, I like it. So that's really what I did at the beginning. And then from there, I started kind of evolving. I always knew something. This is important to know, right? This is another reason why we grew so fast. It's because I started investing in marketing. So as soon as I was seeing profit, I did not touch it. I literally grabbed that money and I'm like, let me see what I can do to reach more people. Mm-hmm. So it literally is just that, you know, if you can grow with word of mouth, no doubt. But if you really want to speed things up, you know, you need to invest in marketing. You know, I'm talking Google, Facebook, Yelp, literally all the channels that you can think of. Try them all, because, you know, this is something I found out. You know, what works for me might not work for you. So I like to say, hey, try whatever, because all the areas are different. And it is. And, you know, and what works for one person might not. So I guess just try them all. At least give them a good 1 or 2 months as a test, and then look at how much you spend and how much you made back. And then make the decision whether you want to continue making money or investing the money in that channel. So really, that was it. You know, I tried it all. I tried Thumbtack. I tried Bark. I tried Home Advisor, Angie's List.
Craigslist, Facebook. I was all over the place. I tried
My God. And then you look down, you look back, right, and be careful. You know, try to look for companies that don't lock you in contracts. I made a mistake of signing up a 24-month contract with yellowpages.com. I could not believe they convinced me. And I did it. And they never brought me anything. Yeah, I was like, I remember they called me, and the lady was so good. She literally come, oh, you know, we are having these many searches in your area, and you know, we really want to put you there. And I'm like, where do I sign? And we never got anything from there, right? So try to stay away from contracts, really. Just try to month to month, and you know, but really give a chance to all the marketing channels that you have available.
What's a good number? What's a good amount that you would say a new person needs to start off with marketing? $1,000 in ads?
I will probably allocate 10% of the growth towards growth. So really, whatever you say, you make $8,000, put up like $800 towards marketing next month, and then try to keep it. Be a little bit aggressive, because it really does the difference between slow growth and fast growth.
Right. Because I was telling him, you guys, like when I first met him, he was like, how did you find me? I was like, man, your ads have been following me all over the internet. So however, whoever's doing your marketing, they got your pixels and everything set up right. Because everywhere I go, there goes
it. You're there.
It's that ambience effect, where you keep seeing something, you're going to be like, okay, well, let me just see what's going on here.
No, for sure. No, it really is, right? Just like that, you know, the more you reach out to people, the more opportunity they can know about your services. Right. And then that's how you make connections. And non-different for us local business, right? You can reach the people within your service area faster than handing flyers and business cards and, you know, getting referrals from current customers. It certainly helps. And I think another thing that everybody should be, I guess, focused on at the beginning, it was the reputation. And I tried to get as many reviews as possible. I think we now live in an area, I do it all the time, I'm sure you do it, you know, whenever we're going to try a new business or a restaurant or whatever, first time we see, like, let me see how many reviews they have and what's the score. That's it.
There you go.
And that makes our decision, you know. And and so having good reputation, investing in marketing, and really put yourself out there, right? Like I said, in my case, I was not waiting for people to call me. I was calling potential people, right? Potential partners. And I guess that really becomes a snowball. And so the more you invest back into the business, the more it grows. And here we are.
Awesome. All right. So let's get into this topic. All right.
Yes.
So you said that you got an audit. So what advice could you give to some of my newbies to avoid, you know, if they decide to go with contractors? A lot of people are scared.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, you know, the only reason why people really want to go with contractors, well, I think, is because of the tax thing, is cheaper, you know, independent, all of that fun stuff, right? But you do have a higher risk of getting audited.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the purpose of this whole conversation, just to share.
Absolutely.
So what are some tips that you can give to my newbies, not some things for them not to do?
Right. No, you know, it really comes down to just understanding the laws. I guess when we decided to open for business, I didn't do enough research. And that was really my mistake. Just doing not enough research. Like I said at the beginning, my wife was working for a lady. That lady was paying my wife as a subcontractor 50% of each job.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, that must be the standard way to do things. So when we started getting our own cleaners, that's how we were paying them. You know, you get 50% of each job. But I was driving them around. I was providing the supplies. I was picking them up from home and dropping off our properties. I was paying them on a every 2 week basis. You know, I was literally doing everything. I was treating them as like my employee, but paying them as a subcontractor to essentially not pay workers' compensation or industrial insurance. So I'm thinking, well, that's how everybody pays everyone, so it should be fine. So when I get this letter from the Department of Labor, I remember I opened it, and it had three simple things, right? Oh, you know, we randomly selected you. Remember, that's what it said in the letter. We randomly selected your business for an audit. So we want you to bring the bank statements from 2015, the entire year, bring the invoices that your company generated, and then bring the time cards of the people that work for you. And that's when I'm like, well, I can get you the bank statements, I can get you the invoices, but I don't have time cards because I don't pay by time, I pay per job. Yeah. Me, very naively, I'm like, I'm just going to be truthful and honest. Yeah. I didn't even think of hiring an attorney. I thought in my head, worst case scenario, they're just going to say, you're not supposed to pay this way. They're going to give me a slap on the wrist and I'm just going to walk away and that's it. But no, they don't mess around. So I walk into the meeting, you know, with all the paperwork that I had, and they're like, what are the time cards? I'm like, oh, about that. So, and I'm going to explain it. So I actually don't have time cards because my understanding is if I'm paying at least over minimum wage, so whatever amount I'm paying in the pay period, if I divide the hours that they work by the amount of money they made, if that amount is over minimum wage, I should be okay. And then the lady's like, where did you hear that? And I'm like, somebody told me. And so I'm like, and she's like, okay. So she's not taking notes. And like, how do you dispatch the jobs? Do you provide supplies? Yes, I provide supplies. I told them where I buy them. You know, I was like, this is where I buy them. You know, I pick them up. You know, I pick them up at their home and I drop them off at their home. I drive them around. And the lady's just, you know, taking notes. And I'm like, yeah, well, everything seems fine. So she's like, okay, well, you know, we're going to review the documentation, review the invoices, review the bank statements, and we'll reach out back to you and we'll just let you know what the next steps are. And I'm like, fine, nice to meet you. And I walked away thinking, you know, they were actually nice people. It's not that bad. And literally the following day, they have people looking into, they went through, you know, the finances for the first year, and you're like, Mr. Mondragon, so we have come to the conclusion that you have misclassified the workers. Therefore, you owe the equivalent of $12,800 for in back taxes. And I'm like, what? And you're like, can you repeat that again? And she's like, and she goes on to say the same thing. And I'm like, okay, well, is it a payment plan that I can use? And like, no, you have 30 days to pay that or we'll revoke your license. And I'm like, wow. You know, I've had, you know, before, you know, some issues with the IRS when they're like, IRS pretty, like, you know, we don't want to shut you down. We just give me a payment plan and they'll work with you. Well, labor and industries are like, no, we want their money in 30 days. Like, you essentially been operating illegally and now you had to pay that back. And I'm like, wow. So I'm trying to think, you know, how can I get away from this? Or try to, you know, sweet talk my way. Like, well, I didn't know. I'm sorry. You know, it was something. No, I mean, you owe that money. And I said, well, can you at least tell me what I was exactly doing wrong? Or, you know, so I don't do it wrong. So I'm like, well, come to the office. We'll explain you. We'll tell you exactly how things need to be done. And so that's when they're like, okay, well, you cannot provide them uniform. If there's a contractor, you cannot provide them uniform. That makes them your employee. Okay. So you cannot take someone to tell someone, be at this time at this specific place, because that makes them your employee. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, you're also providing supplies. As subcontractors must provide their own supplies. So if you provide everything, that makes them your employee. Number two, and then I had this is another one. This is actually fun. I had a non-compete agreement with them, I remember. And then the lady's like, well, that doesn't work because essentially if they're their own independent contractors, they should be able to get their own independent jobs. But what you say and then non-compete agreement is to, okay, you cannot work for someone else while you're working for me. That makes that person financially dependent on you. Therefore, you're an employee. And I'm like, okay. And so how should I move forward? And like, well, you need to pay everything. You know, if you're asking someone to be at your home at this time, you have to start from that time until they come back. Driving time included. You can, you know, if they have 8 hours of work continuously, they get 30-minute lunch, right? For every 6 hours, they get 30-minute lunch, and then two breaks of 15 in between. But essentially, the breaks are paid, but the lunch, as long as you don't, you know, bother them for 30 minutes, that, you know, you don't have to pay that. I'm like, okay. And that really threw me off, because for me, the first year, it was very easy to just get jobs. I would just give an amount, and I just knew that 50% was towards the subcontractors and the other one for me. Now I cannot do that. I need to calculate how much I need to pay hourly. And what do you think happened after, you know, the four girls that we had? You know, they were actually making decent money, making 50%. And then I'm like, well, you know, going forward, I cannot pay you like that. I'm actually going to have to pay you by the hour. By the way, you're not going to be able to make $800 a week anymore. You're probably going to be making $400 or $450 a week. What do you think happened? They left. So I was like, ouch. Because nobody likes, you know, to have their, you know, pay cut. Right. So like, well, I'm sorry, I just cannot pay you the way I was paying you, because I cannot afford it. So I almost told, you know, my wife, you know, maybe it's not a good idea to have this business anymore. And she's like, well, no, let's just, you know, we already have some customers. Let's just adapt to the new, and I'm like, but how I'm going to charge? That was my concern. Like, I need to calculate how much I need to pay to employees, payroll taxes, workers' comp, overhead, and then still make a profit. It's just like, I was like overwhelmed with the thought of doing that. And she's like, let's just work it out and then figure out. I said, okay, fine. She was right. We already had some customers. Like, well, it's not like we're starting from zero. I mean, we already have some revenue coming, so let's just adjust. So we did that. And ever since, you know, we became an employee-based model. Now, I want to add to that. As of now, I'm trying to actually go back to subcontractors, and I'm going to tell you why. Because, you know, on the 7 years that we have operated, unfortunately, we have had two accidents that could have been prevented. You know, the first one was for not wearing anti-slip shoes. The lady slipped inside, you know, stepping inside of a bathtub, she slipped and she fractured her hip. She couldn't work anymore. And that made my rate go up. Second year, my wife's driving with a cleaner. And unfortunately, my wife, you know, makes an illegal turn and crashes into another vehicle. Well, the cleaner gets injured. And then that's another claim. Well, these two claims raised my rate from like 1.15% to like 3.79% over the last, you know, 3 years. And it's just like a car insurance, right? If you have accidents, you know, your rate goes up and stays up for at least 3 years. And if you don't have anything going on, they might adjust it, but it never goes back to where it was. So to give you an idea, you know, with 22 employees, generating about 120,000 per month, about 50% of that is payroll, and then I like another 20% is between payroll taxes and workers' comp. Workers' compensation alone, I'm paying 11,000 to 12,000 per month in premium. That's just a lot of money if you think about it. That's 120,000 a year. Mm-hmm. And that money, all that rate is going to stay at least for another year or year and a half. So this is the reason I'm going back to the subcontractor model, right? So to say I cannot continue to grow like this, because they're essentially taking the profit away. So I need to adjust. But now that I understand the law, now I know exactly what to do, what not to do. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you know, I'm not going to worry about payroll taxes anymore. I'm literally just going to cut a check for whatever works or jobs they do. And then I'll keep the rest for, you know, marketing, overhead, customer service and whatnot. But then I think it's more clear cut. I will say, based on experience that I've been on both sides of the coin, I want to say, if you really want to make money, go the subcontracting road. I mean, yes, there's a few cons, right? You might say, well, you don't have control over the quality. Well, that's when it comes to you to do the screening process. Right. If you take the time to find good cleaners, you won't have that issue. So it really comes down to do a little bit of research, take the time to hire the right people and then pay them correctly. Right. Dispatch the jobs correctly. If you do everything, you know, correct. Wait. IRS might come because they don't like to not get paid.
Yeah.
You know, they want their share. So they will come to you and they're like, okay, how do you dispatch the jobs? How do you pay them? How do you manage them? How do you, essentially run your company with them. If you do everything right, they're just going to go, well, good, thank you, bye-bye, and they're going to leave you, right? So it really comes down to that. Just understanding the laws, make sure that you're compliant, that you really follow the rules, and then that's it. I think if I were to start again, I would probably do the subcontracting model, but really get all the pieces high, very tight, so that way nothing happens.
Wow, man. He just said a mouthful, you guys. I really hope you guys are paying attention, because a lot of people, they'll hear one thing about subcontractors and they're like, nah, I'm going employees because that's safe. And when I first started, I started off with employees. When you first started, you started with contractors. Mm-hmm. But I started with employees, and me being a newbie, not really knowing how to bid correctly, man, it got tough having to pay all the employee taxes and buy the supplies. And mm-hmm. I was really breaking even or not really making that much of a profit at all because I didn't understand the business. I didn't understand how to quote. So that's what led me to having to get business loans. And then my whole business ended up crashing and I had to file bankruptcy. But with that whole understanding, I was like, man, what if I just did subcontractors and I did it the right way, you know? And the good thing about you being a coach, right, is, you know, you can, look, I just put an ad out in my city for cleaning businesses. You know, I need some people that are just starting up your cleaning company. And a lot of them, they follow me on YouTube already. And man, it's been, I like it because these people, they'll come in the office and they really take it seriously. You know, I didn't have to, I already started some of them working and I don't have to babysit them. They came, they did the work, they did the job. They sent me an invoice, you know, they understand the business. You know,
that's right.
I was like, you know what? That's, I mean, you can do it. You just have to do it the right way.
That's correct. And,
the way I learned how to do it is I used to pay attention to bigger companies, and I would subcontract for bigger companies, and all the paperwork that they send me, I would pay attention to everything that they send, you know, and that's how I learned how to do it.
Okay. Yeah,
I say people pay attention. I mean,
that's awesome.
Sometimes you don't even need a course. Just pay attention. So what?
That's right. That's right. Learn from your, what you see.
Right, and that's really how I was able to, you know, learn and say, okay, you know what. I'm going to coach and I'm going to have subcontractors and I'm just going to help small companies, you know, people that are trying to grow their cleaning company. And that's it. Right. They understand W-9. They understand their responsibility. So, and they take it more seriously. So I just wanted to shed some light because you dropped a lot of gems, especially on the non-compete thing.
Yeah.
A lot of people think that you can do a non-compete with anybody.
You can. No. You can have it both ways.
You can't really just say, hey, you know, you can't have no more clients with me type thing. Or it's other ways.
That makes it an employee. Yep.
Yeah, man. And he got hit with a big bill, you guys. You don't want to get hit.
Yeah. And think about this, really, Katrina. I'm glad it happened. Looking back, I'm glad it happened after the first 12 months because who knows what would have happened if they outed me like 5 years in when I'm already making, hundred thousands of dollars. They probably would have destroyed me. It really would.
Yeah.
The fine, even though it was high, it was not that high compared to, what it could have happened. So I would say just do your diligence. I guess if you want to go the employee route, go for it. Nothing is wrong with it. Just understand that it's more, there's more laws and regulations in between. And, if you want to go that route, it's perfectly fine. So it really comes down to study your area, see what you want to do, how you see yourself in the next 2-3 years. And then this is another, thing that you can do. Like me, myself, I'm having employees, I'm switching to subcontractors. You might start the other way around and 3 years in, you're like, you know what? I want to have employees now. You can just do that, no problem. So, but I just either or, you just have to understand the laws, and that way you don't get in any issues.
Mm-hmm. Understand the laws. That's it.
Yeah.
Because people say, which one is better? It's not really a which one is better type thing. You know,
right.
Really understand your market, understand your client, understand your revenue, you mm-hmm. know, and then make your decision on which one is best for you. If
that's
you're interested in getting, you want that whole brand thing. You want to mm-hmm. want people to wear your shirts and drive around in your cars and grow this brand.
Yeah. Employee. Yep.
And it's completely fine.
It is.
You have mm-hmm. to quote high enough to make it make sense for you and mm-hmm. the employees.
That's right.
Because like you said, he was paying the girl $800. And then when he switched over to employees, it was like $400.
Mm-hmm.
Got to make sure that they're happy as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
Absolutely.
I think we shed a lot of light on this podcast.
I think so. I really did. I, like, again, you know, it's not complicated. It's just, you know, I think it's like 6-7 rules, if anything, you know, when it comes to that.
Right.
Like you said, Katrina, you study, understand the laws, even hire an attorney, right? Pay a consult fee. If you're not sure you want to consult a professional, might as well, you know, invest an hour on an expert. They'll tell you the same thing, right? You know, you cannot control them. You're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to do that. Just work your way around that and you have a business.
There you go. All mm-hmm. right. It's been a pleasure having you on the podcast. Tell the people where
Thank
they
you
can find
me.
You and the name of your cleaning company. What's the name of your cleaning company?
The name of the cleaning company is called Queen Bee Cleaning Service. We're based out of Seattle. So, yeah.
All right. And the name of your YouTube channel, because you guys have to follow his YouTube page.
Yep. So just go to youtube.com/Cristobal Mondragon and you'll find me there. And I cannot wait, you know, I guess to share more personal experience. I think it really comes down to that, right? Mistakes that we made, wins that we have. If we share that with the people, you know, I think we really providing a lot of value for the upcoming company so they don't make the same mistakes that we did when we got in trouble. So thank you again for inviting me and allowing me to share my story. I really appreciate it.
All right. It's been a pleasure. Until next time, you guys.
Bye-bye.